name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down with us for a moment. I am your host, Josh.
And I'm Hannibal Bates. Mother wants me to bring her a nice Chianti and some fava beans. Don't you, Mother?
Who are you talking to?
My mother.
Oh, okay.
Hannibal!
Yes.
Hannibal!
Yes. I'm going to be standing over here.
Okay.
Hey, who are you? Where'd you go? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, while we work this out, these interesting people in the room with me here, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes of this quick-moving series. So my friend, I don't know where Hannibal went. You look more like Jay, so I'm just going to call you Jay.
Okay.
Why don't you... tell us, you know, first of all, I want to say this is very strange, not sitting right next to you as we record like we did last week.
That was a blast.
I enjoyed recording face-to-face with you and just basically just having a discussion about The Flash. But I had a really good time with you out in Anaheim, California for Star Wars Celebration. So I hope we get to do that again very soon.
I hope we could do that. Yeah, that would be really nice. You gotta come out here more often. Maybe we can just meet in Coast City for pizza.
I like that. I hear they have really good pizza, so that sounds like a great idea.
They do, yeah.
We should record over pizza sometimes. That would be pretty good.
That would be fun.
We'll just cover each other while we're chewing. So, but you know what? This week we are again miles apart talking about this episode of The Flash, but no less interested, and there's lots of stuff to talk about it as usual. So why don't you start off by telling us what episode we're talking about, and then we'll get right into some news.
Well, the tachyons bring us back together, so that's how it helps. Well, this week we are going to be answering the question, who is Harrison Wells? And surprisingly, that is also the name of the episode, episode 19 from season 1.
I thought we were playing Jeopardy there for a second. And,
okay. Oh, we should have set up a board and we could have gone down that. Episode aired originally on April 21st, 2015, written by Ray Udomichit and Courtney Norris. Hope, Ray, I didn't totally butcher your last name. And directed by Wendy Stansler. So, who is Harrison Wells? Who is Eddie Thawne? Who is Barry Allen? Heck, who are you?
Trust me, I'm the guy you know.
Okay, all right.
You can trust me.
You can never tell when the everyman is in town. This dangerous metahuman can morph into anyone that he touches. And he's been committing crimes and blaming other people. You see, he robs banks and frames the employee. He shoots cops and blames Eddie. He even offers tea and frames his grandma. Nefariously impersonating someone to get what you want. Unbelievable, I know. Wait, hang on. Wait, that sounds a lot like the Reverse Flash. Wow. Is Harrison Wells, who most of the team believes is our lemon-colored miscreant, really Harrison Wells? Joe and Cisco want more evidence, so they take a trip to Starling City to work with Captain Quentin Lance, who you may know from Arrow, and investigate the deadly car crash that killed the love of Wells' life. What they find is that it killed Wells, too. With all that, his identity theft going on, Barry is having a hard time deciding who to trust, and Caitlin is having a hard time trying to decide who to kiss.
Oh, you did not go there.
Oh. Good.
Okay. Caitlin's got a secret she's going to have a hard time dealing with for a while, I think.
I think that may be one of those weird little moments for the rest of the season or something.
All right. Well, interesting parallels going on in this episode that I definitely want to get into. But let's talk a little bit of news. We have some good news this week.
Good news.
First of all, let's talk about another spinoff. Okay, so yeah. We've had Flash as a spinoff of Arrow, of course, and we've heard of the newest spinoff that is now being referred to officially, I guess, as the Legends of Tomorrow, or just Legends of Tomorrow. Is there a the?
Yeah, I didn't see a the. I think it's just Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah,
Legends of Tomorrow. Okay, so you know, reported by some websites, and also by I guess it was John Wesley Shipp was at a convention over this past weekend.
Calgary here. Expo this last week.
Calgary Expo, that's right. Okay, so he was up in Canada, so he wasn't in Anaheim with us, but and he just called the spinoff Legends, so that kind of fits Legends of Tomorrow, that thing. And just to kind of remind you, we know that it does star Brandon Routh, who is Ray Palmer, which we've seen in both Arrow and Flash. He's been in both. Was that last week he was on? Yeah, that was last week.
Last week.
Mm-hmm. Also, Wentworth Miller, who plays Captain Cold. Dominic Purcell, who's Heat Wave.
Yep.
Victor Garber, who's one half of Firestorm. We know that for sure.
Yep.
And then Katie Lotz as what? Ghost of Canary?
Yeah, we're not sure. We're not sure. Some people are saying maybe White Canary. So who knows what is involved in that. But then we've got some other new characters there as well.
We do, right? Sierra Renee. Am I saying that name right? Sierra Renee, I think that's right. And Arthur Darvill.
Yeah.
And they're going to be Hot Girl and Rip Hunter.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about those on the show, too. So, Legends of Tomorrow. Can we just start calling it that now instead of spinoff?
Yeah, I think that we should start referring to that, and hopefully that's what they'll use. That sounds pretty cool.
All right. Yeah, it does sound pretty cool. And again, I think we talked about this last week. With the people that it says it starring, it sounds like those will be, you know, fairly regular characters. But it could still be, you know, a lot of guest appearances or I don't know, what do you call cameos, I guess, by certain DC characters. And it really feels like it's going that way. For me. So I'm anxious to see what they come up with. All right.
Oh, and they also said it is probably going to be 13 episodes, which is one of those kind of mid-season. It could be like a summer show next year. So maybe after, instead of being a mid-season replacement like we've been previously reporting, it could be a summer show that's on when Arrow and Flash are off. Which
it could be. It also
would be cool too.
They also could be, you know, being cautious with this one. You know, if just ordering a smaller amount of episodes for a season, and then if it looks like it's going to be successful, much like The Flash was, go ahead and tack it on a full season. But
But if it is,
I wouldn't mind having. I was just going to say, I don't mind if a summer series, you know, and something nice on a break.
Yeah, and just with the number of cameos that they're talking about, I think just to work it in with everybody's schedule, because, I mean, I don't know how busy Andrew Kreisberg gets with the shows that he works on, but he'll be working on Arrow and The Flash and Supergirl, and I think he's got one other. So this would be a fifth show that he'd be working on. So, you know, I don't know how much day-to-day involvement he's got in any of his shows, but...
Well, geez, you know, doing five podcasts, I can tell you that it does take up a lot of your time.
It does.
Although he probably gets paid for his.
that is also true.
But, you know, either way, spend a little more time on it. But, I'm anxious to get to our second bit of news. This is some very exciting news for Scarlet Velocity and one half of our esteemed team. Well, actually, the esteemed part of our team here. Jay, you were very lucky to take a few minutes and sit down with the trickster himself, Mark Hamill, when we were out at Star Wars Celebration. I was very excited to hear that you got this opportunity.
Well, I did. I got just a few minutes to get in and ask the trickster a couple questions here. First off, I'd just like to say much thanks to Ben Stevens, Philip Wise, and Chris Wyman of Official Picks for helping this to happen. And also, special thanks, obviously, to Mark Hamill himself for agreeing to talk with us for a few minutes. We're live at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim with Mark Hamill. Mark, you've returned to one of your most classic roles in 2015 here. Of course, I'm talking about The Trickster. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what it was like getting back into that role.
Well, it was certainly unexpected. I started watching The New Flash mostly because I wanted to see how they used John Wesley Shipp, and they were so clever to use that Jeff John storyline where from the very first episode they hook you with the backstory of, you know, Henry being falsely accused of that murder, which is very clever, I think. This version of The Flash is much more focused on relationships in a way that the first one was not. And when they asked me to, they said they want you to come back on The Flash, I was figuring since I'm a contemporary of John's, it would be another inmate.
Sure.
At Iron Heights, a professor. I thought of anything but The Trickster.
So yeah, we were really excited to see that. We loved the performance you did. You had a nice little nod to Star Wars in there, of course.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. And we also wanted to find out, because some of our fans are really interested in what's coming up. Would you be interested in coming back as a Trickster at some point?
Well, Andrew's talked about that. I'm talking about Andrew Kreisberg. Mm-hmm. I'm open to it. I mean, I can't say for sure. I mean, I want to see, you know, I was hesitant to come back at all, but because I thought, you know, guys, let's be age appropriate here. I can't see myself back in that one piece unitard,
right?
But they're very clever the way they had Devon Gray as the new Trickster, and he just knocked me out. That Devon is a really talented guy, and I think you're going to be hearing a lot from him. But one of the hallmarks of the comic books when I was a kid were the villain team ups. And, you know, I would say next to Batman, you know, there's the best rogues gallery in comic books there.
Oh, definitely. Well, we also heard, we understand that from the original 90s series, if they had gone into season two, they were going to try to do a rogues gallery and bring you back even for possibly a third or more roles for that.
That's right. Danny Bilson told me that the opening of season two would be a, you know, a feature length, 2-hour Flash episode where they would team me up with, you know, Mirror Master. And I thought, oh, that'll be the first time I worked with David Cassidy since the Partridge Family. But so I was really disappointed, not just selfishly because that I wanted to come back, but I just couldn't believe they would cancel a series of that quality. But in any case, it felt good, you know, the other shoe dropped, you know, more than 20 years later. So, but they're very interested in the same thing, teaming me up with Wentworth Miller. I'm a big fan of his. And, you know, I just had a great time. The cast is just tremendous. I can't speak highly enough of Grant and Jesse and just all of them.
Well, we've definitely been enjoying the show, and we hope to be able to see more of you on the show. And thank you for taking a few moments with us.
My pleasure. Run, 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 run!
Well, wow. Trickster and Captain Cold, how cool would that be?
Oh, that would be very cool. But between the two of them, they're both genius enough and sinister enough. That would be the start of an amazing rogue gallery there.
Well, I have to tell if you can't tell from the interview, Mark Hamill is a huge, huge comic book fan. I mean, I would think that fans of Mark would know this, but I mean, besides having written comic books himself, he's well versed in multiple comic book universes and storylines. So, you know, him talking about the Jeff Johns storyline and everything like that. And one other thing I wanted to mention to everybody is that you created a lovely piece of artwork. As you were quite an accomplished artist yourself, that you wanted to be able to give to Mark. Unfortunately, you were not able to present it to him, but I had it delivered to him. It basically was a I'm going to try to post a copy of it up on our Facebook page. I think I'd like people to see it. It's basically a copy of, I think it's, what is it, Flash 123, Flash of Two Worlds.
Yeah.
And it's the two Flashes, one from the 90s show and one from the current show, racing toward the Trickster, who has crossed out the Flash title and written the Trickster over it. But when I asked Mark, I said, you know, had you had a chance to see this artwork that that Josh had sent back? He said he, quote, loved it, and proceeded to tell me a story about how he got a nice piece of Flash artwork, or excuse me, a nice piece of Trickster artwork from artist Fred Hembeck, who has a very cartoony style, and that is currently hanging in his bathroom. So you may be hanging next to a Fred Hembeck Trickster picture in Mark Hamill's bathroom.
To be in Mark Hamill's bathroom would be a huge honor.
So,
and that may have to be a tattoo, that quote right there, just right on my back. that would be phenomenal. I don't know how I'll ever know that. I guess I could ask him next time I see him. So, Mark, am I hanging in your bathroom? But that's cool. Thank you for giving that to him. And yeah, like you said, I wasn't available to be there. But I'm glad that he got that, and I'm glad that he liked it. And yeah, we'll go ahead and post the picture up on our Facebook page, because it was really fun to draw. It wasn't. I looked at some original Trickster covers to see if I could, kind of put a cartoony caricature style on that one. But I liked the idea of the Flash of Two Worlds, because it had the two Flashes that were kind of the result of Mark Hamill being on the two shows. Series of the Flash, on the two shows. So,
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, really good job.
Well, thank you again, and great interview. Great to hear from Mark, and he did a great job on the Flash as Trickster. And I hope he comes back. I think they would be very wise to bring that character back, because he did an amazing job. That was a very powerful episode. So
I think so too. And I would love to just sit down and talk comic books with him at some point. Honestly, I'm sure.
Man, I tell you.
You know, at a Star Wars convention, I'm sure a lot of people were talking to him about Star Wars. I didn't find out how much, people were talking to him about Flash. So hopefully that was a nice little bit of fresh air for him to be able to talk about his role in the Trickster, which I don't know that anyone would have asked him about. So,
well, you and I for sure would, because we're huge Flash fans and Star Wars fans. So there you go.
Yep. And I'm sorry that you were not able to be there, but I'm glad I got the opportunity at the very end. So
I'm glad you were representing the show, and I appreciate it. Glad you were there. So great chance, and thanks to all those guys that helped you get that interview. So
yep, and I gave him a pin too, so he's got one of our Scarlet
Velocity. Oh, pins. Excellent! I didn't know that.
Yep, I did.
Cool.
I attached it to the artwork so that not to the artwork, but to the. It was like in a Mylar sheet with holes on the side, so I just put it through one of the holes on the side, so he had a copy of the pin.
Oh, here you go. Well, if anybody has a picture of Mark Hamill wearing our pin, I'll draw you a personalized picture. I tell you what, if you can show that Mark Hamill has a Scarlet Velocity pin, I'll draw you a picture. Just send it, email it straight to us. I want to see.
Yeah. Scarlet Velocity at randomchatter.com.
Yep. Right. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and talk about this week's episode.
Okay.
Because Trickster was not in this week's episode, but it was.
Or was he?
Or was he? I guess it could have been. Yeah, he could have been the tree. Only if he touched him, though. All right. The Everyman. That's what we're calling the this new guy here. Now he is a DC villain.
Yep.
In the comics. Let's see. Who named him the Everyman? Was that Caitlin or Cisco?
It was...
It wasn't Cisco.
It was not Cisco, because he was out of town. It was,
right.
I think it was Barry that mentioned it to Caitlin.
I thought it was somebody mentioned it straight to him, straight to, I'm forgetting his real name. Well, let's see, I'm going back here. Hannibal Bates.
Oh, okay.
Hannibal Bates. Okay. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. So the Everyman.
Caitlin might have said it to Barry, but it was Hannibal Bates as Barry. I think that's what it was.
Right. So, okay. I may have even mentioned this on The Flash or another show that we have done, but this was very much one of those ER type episodes. You know, like when the doctors at ER were having personal issues, they would just happen to be working on a patient that had something very similar or something that made them think about their personal issues.
Oh, that happened on House too.
Yeah. You know, that it was always a good way to look at yourself from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this episode was very similar to that. I don't have a problem with that as long as you don't do it all the time. But you got the everyman that's able to turn into anybody just by touching them. And then, of course, we talk a lot about Harrison Wells. You know, Joe and Sisko are investigating Harrison Wells not being who he says he is.
Right.
And they discover that that is indeed the case in this episode.
Oh, wow. Sure. Wait, those are like very similar.
You see?
Look at that. Synergy.
Also, I think Caitlin has to come to terms with certain feelings she has deep down inside. So that is very similar to this. So that one of the themes I thought from this episode was very much identity. Not just in the case of the Everyman and Wells parallel, but also, you know, a little bit they worried with Barry. Because for a while there, they were worried about if this guy touched Barry, would he actually get his powers as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I was worried about that. I mean, it's like, it made sense, right? I mean, you know, if he can transmorph, you know, clothing and stuff like that, why wouldn't he be able to, you know, duplicate the powers in some way? But it seemed like that was not the case.
Luckily, that was not. And also, I thought, and you see, I don't know if you got the same kind of idea, but he did end up touching Barry, of course, because, I mean, you know, that gives the show a lot more interesting ways to go with their action. But he touched him when he was Barry and not the Flash. So he didn't really know that he was the Flash, right? I mean, we're to assume that
point,
he never really gave any indication. I don't know that at any point he knew.
Well, no, at the end he did, because when Barry was in the Flash costume and they met in the whatever that back hallway or whatever it was,
sure,
where they had the fight where he kept changing, he touched Barry again and became the Flash. Oh, you know what? Now I'm seeing that line differently, because he says, oh, look at me, I'm the Flash.
Yeah,
I'm rethinking my opinion on that, but I thought he was saying that because he realized that this was Barry and everything from before, but he may have just been saying it because he just literally turned into the Flash.
That is what I was thinking. So that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to get your take on, do you think he knows Barry is the Flash? I'm going to say no. I don't think he does.
Hmm.
Now, they never said anything specifically about him knowing or not knowing. I think he doesn't know because he changed into the Flash in the Flash costume after he had touched the Flash. So I'm thinking that the Everyman still does not know.
Well, I may have to go to my list of how many people know that Barry is the Flash and put an asterisk next to that, because I did put that down. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, speaking of identity, this may be a little bit of a stretch, but I had a little thought about Eddie, because, of course, Eddie has been chafing with Iris over the last few episodes because she knows that he's lying to her, and, you know, she's kind of not staying with him now that they've moved in together. And
they moved into each other at the end of the episode.
Yeah. So, but he told Barry that, you know, he's like, I can't continue lying to Iris like this. So, you know, his identity is wrapped up in this lie right now, and he comes clean to a degree, I guess, with her about this whole thing. So I think that he's trying to find himself again in the lie that's kind of muddled his interpersonal relationships.
Let's talk about Eddie and the Flash for just a second and their relationship. So back to identity, you know, he struggled last few weeks because of Iris knowing Barry's identity. And that is clearly going to be an issue with anybody that discovers it, that at least is on Barry's side. But I still, even after this, even after this episode, I still am very curious as to why they let Eddie in on the secret in the first place.
I still don't have a good answer.
You don't have a good answer? See, I didn't come up, even at the beginning, as they're doing all the investigating about Wells, I'm not sure how much Eddie really did. I mean, other than Joe kind of just wants him to cover for him, you know? Well, yeah, let's see, Joe and Sisko are going to go to Starling City, so, you know, they're going to leave Eddie behind to just kind of cover, and I don't know. I'm still really not sure why they let Eddie in on the secret.
I mean, it was like on last week's episode, it was just they were having a good time at the beginning of, I think that was last week, right, where Barry's arresting everybody. Was that last week or the week before?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I think it was last week.
That was last week, yeah.
You know, it was just like, okay, like I said at that point, you know, it's just to have Eddie as part of it so he and Joe can talk about how much fun this is to be working with the Flash.
Well, right now, that's all the only purpose it is serving. I'm not sure why they let him in on it other than to help protect Iris, but not having him know, I think, would be even more protection for Iris than having him know.
Right. Well, and it's also the big setup for, you know, for Wells / Eobard Thawne to say, I remember when my great-great-great-grandfather told me that Barry Allen was the Flash. It's like, well, there we go. That's okay, the only other reason. You know, I don't know.
Before this episode, I had come up with an incredibly wild theory about the Thawne family. I'll share it with you at the end, because it was kind of proven not to be necessarily the case at the end of this, or at least not the reason I thought it was. But it had to do with Eddie shooting the cops there. So I'll talk to you about that. It's kind of embarrassing now, because now it doesn't seem that obvious. But anyway. Identity obviously is an issue. But also we learned that lying to family members is one of those things superheroes have to go to therapy for, I think, because it seems to be a common trait.
Well, at least with the cops in these shows and their daughters.
So maybe it's just a common trait among cops and superheroes.
yeah. I thought that was a really poignant scene both ways, right? It was Lance, you know, basically pointing out to Joe that, you know, this is maybe not the best way to go about doing stuff. But Joe, you know, also, you know, points out bits about reconciliation and everything like that. So a very nice scene between Paul Blackthorne and Jesse Martin on that.
It was a good scene, and it played off really well together. My question to you, let's talk about that. So Joe has been lying to Iris about Barry and about the Flash and about everything. So his motivation, I guess, to lie to Iris is what? What would you sum up?
That he's trying to protect her, and he said as much.
Right. Okay, so protecting her from people that could use her against him, kind of the way the Weather Wizard was doing. Is that the kind of stuff?
Right, or the way that Reverse Flash ended up threatening him with her, you know, potential death if he were to continue the investigation.
Right, but knowing or not knowing is not going to protect her from that. Which I guess is why he's still continuing to protect to investigate, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can see that there's a gray area there. You can see that, you know, lying to her, he has a reason. And I think he was thinking about that today on this episode, as he was talking to Quentin Lance. I think that he was kind of thinking about some of that stuff, whether or not lying to her is really the right thing. I don't know if he came to a decision. He never really said, but I think he was thinking about it.
Well, obviously, and that parallels Eddie's thinking on the whole thing as well. I would feel bad just to have one of these other characters reveal Barry's secret, just because, you know, as I think we've mentioned before, either on this episode or on our Green Justice podcast, It's not their secret to share.
Absolutely. I don't think they should just share it because they're feeling like they can't share it.
They're burdened or whatever.
They're
right.
burdened,
yeah.
yeah. Or they're just too excited. They're bad at keeping secrets. But I think they do have legitimate reasons, and agree with them or not. And so let's talk about the opposite side. You said on both sides with Quentin Lance. Now, he's not doing the lying. He was the one that was lied to. But he discovered, if you don't watch Arrow, that his daughter, Laurel Lance, first of all, knew that his other daughter, Sarah Lance, was killed, didn't tell him, and now she's running around with the same costume, being Black Canary now in Starling City, and vigilantism, protecting, yeah. But, you know, watch Arrow. It's a good show. And he's been estranged from her since he found that out.
Right, and also that she was, you know, that she knew the identity of the Arrow and didn't tell him, especially when in her job as the district attorney or the assistant district attorney, that she knew that he was looking for the Arrow. I think that also chafed him a little bit.
Yeah, no, everything that she lied about. Now, he seemed a little bit contemplative when Joe was talking to him about the lying. Do you think he was starting to decide whether he was entirely right or not? I guess what I'm getting at is, do you think that the interaction between Joe West and Quentin Lance is going to affect their attitudes about lying and what they've experienced on either show, on either Arrow or Flash?
Yeah, I definitely think it. I think it will on both shows. I think that's part of the purpose of them kind of double dipping on these appearances. It's they can, I feel a little bad that there are character moments. Like if you only watch Arrow, you're not going to know that Lance had this character moment, and it may be able to be explained when it comes up in the show. But you know, it's just like, if you're reading your Green Arrow comic book and you don't read Flash and you don't see the crossover episode or issue, you know, you still know what's going on in your current issue, but you know that there was something else that was going on that the character, you know, delved into. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think that the stuff we saw in this episode of The Flash is going to pay off. Well, it doesn't pay off on this week's episode of Arrow, but, you know, in an episode, I would hope here this season. In the last three episodes or whatever, so
they don't have much time. But it just I agree with you though. I'm a little worried about them doing that a little bit too quickly and suddenly, especially based on events from another show.
Yeah, too much. That we were excited when there was a crossover at the beginning of the season. They said, "Oh, it's going to be a crossover," which we discussed that wasn't necessarily what we would term a crossover, but it was a lot of people from one show. It, you know, crossing over, coming to that city and then vice versa. But they've been doing that almost every week now. We've got a character here, character there, visiting each week.
Yeah, we had Quentin and Laurel Lance this week. We had Ray Palmer and Felicity Smoke last week.
Right, and then on Arrow last week, we had Cisco show up over there.
Right. Oh, my gosh. And they're directly affecting each other, and not just in, you know, the things they're talking about. I mean, Cisco was working with Laurel Lance on some things too that we'll get to in a minute. But it's just interesting. I don't actually mind it, but I am just worried that they can use that to move some tricky plot points around in an easy way because, hey, you know, he was talking to Joe and he's cool now. He's cool with Laurel. Yeah. So I doubt that would work. I mean, I doubt that they would do that because it's such a huge thing on Arrow. But I think it is going to affect the way Joe treats Iris here at the end of the season.
Right. Well, I don't think that, like, next time we see Lance and Laurel, they'll be like buddy-buddy. But it'll allow him to broach the subject, you know, easier because he's already had a conversation about it here. So now he can broach it, you know, the next time they meet for whatever, because he's had some thoughts about it. It also makes me think that they're just really excited about doing this crossover show, and they are trying to say, look, this kind of stuff works. This works on a TV thing. on TV shows, where you can have characters from one show come in and directly affect the consequences of the characters on the show they're visiting, and that these kind of team-up things work. Maybe it's a proof of concept sort of thing for the CW hierarchy.
Oh, could be. Could be. All right. Well, yeah, let's kind of move on. I mean, you know, so identity and lying, I think, were kind of the main themes of this, but some other really interesting things happen. So we'll get to how, I don't know, smart they were being at certain events in this. But one thing that happened
that is smart is not the word I would use.
How not smart. All right, we'll talk about that. Caitlin was getting a little action going on there with Not Barry. And,
yes.
She didn't, Not Barry. She didn't seem to be minding too awful much. A little surprised, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I mean, Barry's a fine strapping young lad. Any lass would be pleased to be macking on him, I guess, right?
I don't know. He doesn't have anybody, so maybe he's not that fine. Maybe he's got like body odor or something. He's got something we can't see.
I'm
as
sure
an
he sweats a lot.
Yeah, but it was kind of interesting to see Caitlin with that reaction, and you know, I think as far as an in-depth character on Flash, I don't think they've given her too much to do this season. They haven't really had an opportunity, you know, with so many other things going on. She's been a good tool to use in certain situations, but especially when Ronnie was around. But I don't know that she's had a whole lot of things to do. So I kind of like the idea of her having this special moment, I guess.
Right, and they're both unattached. I mean, there's nothing saying that couldn't happen. I mean, you know, I think, you know, from the comics we know that, like, Barry and Iris become an item, or kind of always have been an item in certain runs of The Flash. But, you know, I like them exploring this, even if it's not really with Barry. So.
Yeah, but she thought it was.
She thought it was, right. And it kind of makes me think that they may do something a little further with this, where she may make a first move with real Barry at some point in the future, because, you know, well, it wasn't all bad.
After drinking a little bit, probably, right? We know
maybe
how she is.
Yeah, maybe they go karaokeing again.
Yeah, that's a very CW-ish storyline, but I think it's good that they throw those real life moments in there for us. In a comic book world, especially in this show. So, well, speaking of love, apparently after all of the stressful goings on with Eddie and him being framed for the attempted murder of these cops, we never found out what happened to those cops, did we?
Yeah, they weren't dead. They were just in the hospital or in a coma or something along those lines. In critical condition, maybe that's what she had said.
Yeah, by the end of the show, they didn't say they were dead or anything. So that's good to know that they didn't actually die. So after everything, after that tense situation, is Iris cool with Eddie now? I mean, he gave her an explanation of why he was so distant.
Did we even get a resolution, or was it just sort of him saying that? I can't remember what the reaction shot was on that.
Well, she came running into his arms, and then by the end, he awkwardly tells her that he's been working with the Flash. She doesn't
remember
any more details.
Yeah, I remember that part. Yeah, because she was happy to see him and all that, or that he was exonerated, but
it seemed as if that was an acceptable reason for him treating her that way. I don't know. To me. That wouldn't have been a good enough. Well, I wouldn't have been reacting like Iris in the first place. But
right.
Iris is a smart person, and it, I don't know. It doesn't seem like that would be a big enough reason to be treating her the way she thought he was treating her. But she seemed to accept it.
Can I add just one other thing about Iris? The fact that she She kind of just comes into Star Labs and sits down and starts like working on their computer to hack the Central City Police Department database to check on all the, you know, basically the same thing that, was it Caitlin that had proposed it initially, or maybe it was Barry? I found that a little presumptuous of her character. Awesome that she has the skills to do that. But that was a little off.
Yeah, she's not Felicity.
Right. Definitely.
She doesn't
not.
Work at Star Lab, so her having that ability, as you said, you know, that seemed a little bit misplaced to me.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done that in a different way. Also, you know, maybe knock the guy out a little bit more next time.
Right.
Or check traffic first. I don't know. But I that was very clever and brilliant how the everyman got away, though, when he was with them. My daughters were very concerned after that scene why Caitlin and Iris weren't in police custody after that.
Yeah, you've got... You know, a little, well, maybe because the construction workers saw a little girl run off and then change or do something else. So they realized that maybe they should have just left well enough alone.
as one does when one sees a child handcuffed in a car. okay, well, so,
yeah.
so we know about the metahumans now and the captain. Captain Singh seemed very, open to the whole scenario. Yeah,
he's surprisingly cool with the whole thing.
Yeah, and convincing other people that it's in, now we have to remember that they also had dealings with the weather wizard.
True.
Wait a minute, or did they?
Oh, you're right. They did not. Well, unless they're remembering stuff like Cisco was.
Maybe.
You're right.
Oh
they
my
would
gosh,
not
I
have...
don't now.
Yeah, they wouldn't have had any encounter with him. Yeah, because that was erased. Because Barry got him before he came into the police station.
That's right. Oh my gosh, I had sort of my memory changed that whole situation now. So because of that, this is really the first time that they've I want to say witnessed. I mean, they just saw it on video, but they have evidence to support the fact that there are different kinds of people and metahumans in the city.
And the woman from internal affairs also seemed really taken by the Flash, you know, because she related the story how he ran by me once, you know, I really didn't see him. It was just a red streak and the wind blew and stuff, but that was pretty cool. You know, I'm like, wow, you know, it's like that. And that's part of the story of the Flash. He's such a likable character that, he causes instant, reactions from the people in the city. I mean, they just love the fact that he's there looking out for them. I think that's the whole kind of mythos of the character.
Right. And one of the reasons I won't gush about the Flash here too long, but one of the reasons that I have liked the Flash as a superhero, my whole life is because he's not that dark brooding character. He's very out there in the open, smiles a lot, you know, and the public adores him. So,
I'm the Flash. But, not that guy, right?
That just doesn't work. It doesn't work. All right. So yeah, the what do you call a lady from internal affairs? Internal affairs lady. Anyway, she.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
Yeah, she did kind of like him. She was kind of cute, as is every actor that works for the CW. But hey, he's single now. There's another love interest for him. He could have himself a girlfriend's gallery by the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so Captain Singh's on board, and what else were we saying? Oh, so Iris and Eddie are tight now. Let's go over to Starling City and see Joe and Cisco. They find Harrison Wells' body.
Yes.
Terribly, terribly easy.
Well, you don't need the little tachyon detector. You just walk around with a cup of coffee, and as soon as it starts floating out of the cup, bingo, bango, bongo.
Okay, how does that work? So, okay, there's tachyons there. Why is there tachyons? Because of the device that he used?
So You know the guy that has his hair all, like, you know, crazy from Mysteries of the Unknown or whatever it is? You know, it's like, because tachyons, right? It's just, you know, like aliens, but...
Are tachyons real things?
Tachyons are real things. They are real particles.
Are real
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
They're particles that appear to move faster than light because they, I mean, because they travel that fast. I don't know that they can measure them, but they can see the fact that, you know, there's a particle. I don't know, actually, and I don't know if it's a particle or a wave. So. But well, yeah, they are.
They can
real.
Measure them. They just, like you said, they just carry on a cup of coffee. But
yeah, they are real quantum particles.
Sorry, I didn't do my research on cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson before we did this episode. I apologize.
You should watch Watchmen because there's discussion about tachyons in that as well.
And that's more scientific research. Watchmen.
Watchmen. Yeah, that's my footnote.
It's
better than saying Wikipedia, I guess, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you're probably right. All right, so they find this body of Harrison Wells. They go ahead and they dig him up. They identify it, that it is indeed Wells. Poor guy, very unceremoniously buried. I'm not sure when he did that. It seemed like in that scene, the police showed up pretty quickly after that. But
right.
I don't remember the specifics of that scene.
He is a speedster.
Oh,
Thawne
no,
is,
not at that point. At that point, he wasn't.
Oh, well, you're right. That's true. He had lost a lot of his... Oh, yeah, maybe it took the cops a little bit longer to get there than it appeared in the episode.
Yeah, it could be. So, but my question and your question, how exactly does this body help?
Other than just having a body that you can, you know, they don't necessarily... I mean, they are the cops, but, you know, you can just say, well, this is Harrison Wells' body, so who is this person masquerading as Harrison Wells? But... obviously, I mean, I wouldn't want to be the one that comes out and says that. I mean, Reverse Flash is he's a pretty dangerous dude. You come out and out him like that, I don't think you're going to make it through your next breath, really.
Right. And Joe and Cisco and the rest of the team, they know that. You know, whether Caitlin's on board with that kind of remains to be seen. And that's, I guess by the end... She understands a little bit. She's probably not very happy about it. We'll see there.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how having that body helps them with their cause, but I guess it does. At the very least, it does prove that who, you know, the person that says he's Harrison Wells is not Harrison Wells.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
they've
that
got
is
that
a good
proof.
Point. Right.
But they kind of knew that anyway. I mean, I guess they didn't know that, but they knew he was Reverse Flash. So. I don't know. I guess it's another piece in their puzzle, but...
Yeah, I mean, and they discover his little room and everything at the end there, so...
Did that just scare you to death when they were in the room?
When the door closed after them, yeah, that was a little... I don't know how they got in the first place, because, I mean, future tech, and then as long as somebody touches the wall in that space, it'll open, maybe? I don't know.
Or could have something to do with you know, the Speed Force, because Barry was the one that opened it with his hand, and that was my thought. If he was somehow sensing some special vibrations of the Speed Force,
so he triggers
something
it.
That,
yeah,
yeah, it's something that only Wells/Thawne could do.
Okay, yeah,
that was my one thought. I mean, they didn't really indicate. There's not even a pad or anything.
No,
for it. It was
right.
Just a part of the wall.
So that scene did not scare me as much as Wells coming to the police station to talk to Joe, basically, ostensibly to come and congratulate Thawne on being exonerated of the killing, which is like, it's totally cool. It's like, oh, I'm just coming to tell my, you know, my great-great-grandson that he did a great job getting off, or my great-great-grandfather that he did a great job, you know, getting off on the murder charge. But it was just that
was now scene, yeah. Eddie knows that there's something going on with this with Wells, and so he's got reason to be nervous. Joe would have reason to be nervous for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That was all what a warning. Does he know? Does Wells know that they're
I think Wells
still digging deeper?
Yeah, that they were why they. I mean, because he knew that they were in Starling City, and as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh crud, man, he knows what they've been out there doing, and yeah, it's kind of just a warning to Joe, like, you know, you better watch your back. Which,
hey,
I don't know how. I don't know how you do that with a speed, you know, a psychotic speedster like that. It's just, you know, he's just kind of toying with them. I think
you're right. I think he is toying with them very much. Now that happened right before the scene where they went into Wells' secret room.
Yes.
So we were a little nervous here in our house as we were watching that he was going to come back.
Yeah.
And catch them in there. And then, like you said, when the door closed. Like, how are you going to get out? You know, I mean, they probably figured it out the same way they got in, but mm-hmm. That was a little tense. And then, of course, you know, his Gideon screensaver was still up. he likes to have the newspaper screensaver up there.
Yep.
I think the suit probably would have been enough dramatic tension for me. The fact that the newspaper was just showing there was a little odd. But we do know that Wells comes in periodically to check to make sure that the timeline's still running tickety-boo there and nothing has gone wrong that he's screwed up.
Tickety-boo?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's good.
It just came out. I don't. So I guess that's kind of how I explained it in my mind, you know, that the newspaper pops up because he comes in and checks it every once in a while to make sure time is still intact.
Or at least the time that he wants is still intact.
Right.
My previous hypothesis. So.
All right. Well, so we're dealing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I want to make sure we don't run out of time before we just talk about the idiocy.
Okay.
Of some of the characters and Barry Allen, I'm mostly looking at you in this episode.
I heard a lot about their just common sense. If you're dealing with a shapeshifter, just some common sense, huh? About who you talk to.
Right. We got some basic rules in my house when it comes to shapeshifters. Should you ever encounter a shapeshifter, after you have just talked to someone who's supposedly in jail, who actually wants to go back to jail, if you then go home and they show up at your house saying, oh, no, they just let me out, do not turn your back on that person.
All right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I see where you're coming from. Now, these are rules of your house. Are these hanging in your bathroom? You have the shape-shifting rules of the
cross,
house?
Cross-stitch.
Cross-stitched on your wall? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I got that. Also, I guess we have Caitlin, who did a very similar thing, knows she's dealing with a shapeshifter, and yet when Barry's acting a little funky, she doesn't do much about it. She just kind of digs deep. So, okay, I want to defend these characters just a little, although I'm not going to do a very good job because it really kind of threw me off too. It's like when you yell at the screen on a horror movie, you know, say, no, right. You don't go in there, stupid.
Right. Well, and also, and Barry got knocked out for an extremely long amount of time, considering how quickly he can heal from a, cut.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
All right, sorry.
But you're right. No, you're right.
Anyway,
you're
Flash right. Apologist, go ahead.
All right, I am a Flash apologist, and I would say, you know, I think at that point they didn't fully understand the extent of what this guy could do, you know. They had seen footage of him, at least Barry had, of him robbing the bank as the woman, the bank teller or whatever she was. But they were up close, Caitlin especially, and the level of detail maybe was surprising to them. I'm not doing a very good job. That was dumb. They shouldn't have turned their back.
Okay.
I was trying to put it in a real world situation, you know, and something that you don't understand and have never experienced. Would you expect that? You know, if somebody you know and trust comes up to you, your first thought might not be, hey, I wonder if this is them. But, yeah, they should know better. I got nothing on that.
Okay.
So since we are running out of time, would you like to hear my crazy, crazy theory that I had before this episode?
Sure. Hit me with it.
We had seen, and I think maybe even talked a little bit about, Eddie shooting the cops in a teaser trailer earlier in the season.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about it on air, but you and I definitely had talked about it.
Yeah, and we wondered, you know, why Eddie was doing that, what was going on, what would make Eddie shoot these cops.
Right.
Now, we found out in this episode that it obviously was the everyman. But that doesn't mean this still couldn't be true. Okay, here's my theory of how the Thawns could be related, Eobard and Eddie.
Okay, yeah.
What if, after being discovered as Harrison Wells and the Reverse Flash and possibly defeated, what if he took over Eddie's body and was and Eobard Thawne was posing as Eddie Thawne? In the process, go ahead and just, you know, having relations with someone.
Yep.
And maybe Caitlin or Iris.
Mm.
Ooh, Iris and Eddie, because maybe she doesn't know, right? And yeah. Then she has a baby who is going to eventually have another baby and so on until you get Eobard. So he's like his own great-great-grandpa.
Interesting. Ah, I like that. I think that's great. That's a classic time travel sort of paradox that gets set up in numerous films where characters are usually responsible for their own creation and as such.
And it worked out great. It worked out great until I found out why he shot the cops. So
yeah. No, but I still, other than that part, I still like that. I mean, there's still room that, you know, they think they could have killed him. But like you say, he takes over Eddie, you know, kills Eddie and takes over looking like him instead. Because they may not know how that all works at that
well,
at this point.
Well, my thoughts kind of helped that theory along in my brain when I remembered that line that Wells said back to Sisko, I think it was, right before he supposedly killed him, right? He said, we'll call Eddie a distant relative, right?
We'll
call him a distant relative. So maybe he is a distant relative himself. I don't know, whatever. Okay, now I'm just getting and wacky there.
Well, that's pretty cool. Hey, since we're talking about the Reverse Flash, I let me just read a quick email we got from Speedster Garrett. I think this came in a little over a week ago. He says, I really have to give it to the sound designers. The helicopterish Reverse Flash sound is just perfect. It sets the scene really nicely with a creepy vibe. It's just great. A plus to the designers. What are your thoughts on that sound effect?
I liked it too, and I heard it once in this episode, and I don't think it actually was the Reverse Flash, because he didn't make any speed appearances in this, right?
Correct.
But I heard something in there that made me kind of think it was him, you know? And so
I think
that,
when they saw the suit, there was some kind of sound callback, I want to say.
That might have been it. Yeah, but it really put that feeling of tension in it, and I didn't even realize that I connected that sound with Reverse Flash until I heard it, but didn't see him, you know? Mm. So yeah, I agree with Garrett here. That sound is really appropriate, and it's got that sort of deep vibe that's ominous as opposed to, you know, Barry's. I don't even know what Barry's sound is now, but I'm not going to listen now. But
yeah,
I know
it's definitely
it's
menacing. The Reverse Flash. Yeah.
Excellent.
Very cool.
Excellent. Cool. Well, we did have a few references in this episode. Some very obvious references, and most of them took place away from Central City. They happened in Starling City or other cities that you'd see in the DC universe. So the first one and most obvious I thought was pretty cool was Sisko made Laurel Lance her legendary Black Canary choker that we see in the comics. So you see she's kind of got this they're called chokers, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little black in the comics. It's like a black ribbon
neck,
just around her
neck. Band. Yeah, like a ribbon. It always reminds me of the Old West, like a saloon girls in the Old West. But he set it up to be Sarah Lance's canary cry. So now all she has to do is wear this thing. So I'm anxious to see her in this thing. I think it'll enhance her costume and make it a little more comic book like.
And can I just say how cool it was to see Katie Cassidy like smiling and laughing in this episode?
She hadn't done that much lately, has she?
Yeah, she's she was a really, it was really fun to see her on this episode. Everybody lightens up when they come on The Flash from the characters that they are on Arrow.
It's true, especially if you're talking to Cisco.
Yeah, exactly.
He's almost always a happy guy, you know, unless his brother's hands are being destroyed or somebody's hand is through Cisco's chest or things like that.
Right, right. And he gave it name the Canary Cry as well. So,
oh, yes, of course.
He does get to name things in this episode.
And you know what? He talked about it being using sound vibrations, which, you know, as you probably know, Cisco is in the comic books, becomes the character Vibe. So yep. Uses vibrations. But so why don't you tell us where they got their pizza at the beginning?
Oh, yeah. So Barry ran off to Coast City, which is home of Ferris Air and also home more famously to Green Lantern. So they do have the best pizza in the West. So that was kind of a long way for him to run for pizza. But the one thing I was waiting for was like for Iris to come in and go, how'd you guys get pizza from Coast City? Because it said Coast City Pizza on the box. So it's like you got to be careful when you're throwing those boxes away.
Maybe they ordered it from Amazon, you know, like drone brought it.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was the when the Everyman at the beginning, after he stole the jewels as the woman from the bank, he turned into a man and went in to try to sell them at a place called Abbott Jewelers. And that may be a reference to a Flash letterer named Wes Abbott. I'm not certain, but that seems like a pretty good fit.
I like they're giving the love to all of the people that work on Flash.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm waiting to see them start hitting up like colorists and things like that.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
And then as I kind of teased at the beginning, we had Hannibal Bates, which of course his name, the Everyman character has the name, you know, the first name of Hannibal Lecter and the last name of Norman Bates. Obviously two great horror characters.
A child that was doomed from the very beginning.
Yeah. And nice Psycho reference with him playing his, well, and not his mother, but his grandmother, which if for those of you that, spoiler alert, by the way, for a 50-plus-year-old movie, but Norman Bates dresses up as his mother in Psycho and tries to fool people that way. So he was his grandmother in this one. So that was pretty cool. I thought that was a nice little touch.
That was a nice little touch. I think Cisco might have said Frack, too, which was in Battlestar Galactica. So
yes.
They make a lot of other references besides just comics and this. Pop culture references.
Yeah, a lot of pop culture references, definitely.
For me, I don't know how many other people are interested in this, but I always kind of dig that kind of stuff because it's kind of a shout out to the geek community, right?
So, yep, definitely.
So great references. Well, man, some good stuff in this episode, and we're coming up on just a few episodes left, and we're still, I think I said this last week, we've still got Grodd hanging out in the
wings. I think
he's
still 2 weeks away.
Sheesh. So. And Reverse Flash. Oh, there's all kinds of good stuff. I love that they're not sealing up the deals on all these villains.
And more guest stars. Yeah, they got more guest star crossovers coming. Also, yeah.
All right. Well, after a long week of traveling for you and I, and then talking about this episode with all the stuff going on, and an interview with the Trickster himself, it's time to rest a little bit. You and I got to run.
Yeah, I had such a blast talking about this episode and, like you said, talking to Mark Hamill as well. So if you guys enjoy this episode, please be sure to leave feedback on iTunes. And you can also contact us if you have questions for us or comments or, you know, just want to say hi. You can email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or tweet at us or with us at Scarlet Velocity on Twitter. Or visit our Facebook page. There's all sorts of cool stuff going up there. Josh will try to get your image that you gave to Mark Hamill posted there sometime this weekend at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Yeah, you know what? And I really enjoyed meeting all these people out at Star Wars Celebration, and they told me that they didn't just listen to Scarlet Velocity, but they were also listening to our other podcasts as well, which was, you know, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Hopefully you're interested in those shows as well. And if you are, you can catch those on randomchatter.com. And of course, you can get them in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. Remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.